T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Speaking of a beautiful building, all these years later, think about it. The Xcel Energy Center is, for all practical purposes, 20 years old.
Wow.
Think about that.
It is. It's hard to believe.
But it wasn't a good day for the Wild at DX today.
No, it was certainly not a day to blow out any candles on a birthday cake. My goodness, 6-0. They get just shelled by the Winnipeg Jets. And you know, they entered the game only 3 points behind Winnipeg in the Central Division, and they had only lost one home game all season until today. So you're thinking, if you're a Wild fan, maybe we get a regulation win, pick up 2 more points. We're closing in on the Jets. We stay relevant in the playoff mix. But, wow, they took a step back today, losing 6-0, and it was Alex Stalock who started the game and got yanked in the third period. Devin Dubnyk came in. Now, if you remember, on Thursday they got an 8-5 win in Glendale against the Arizona Coyotes. Dubnyk's first start since leaving to deal with the issues that his wife has had to go through. And he was shaky, but they got the win because former Wild goaltender Darcy Kemper was a sieve. He gave up 7 goals, eventually left with an injury, and the final goal was an empty netter. But yeah, the Wild were hoping for momentum today off of that, but Stevie T, they get blanked and they give up 6 in the process.
It was a clunker. Calgary in on Monday, 4 o'clock. Are you going to do the double dip? Are you going to go see the Flames on Monday in St. Paul, then make the trip to Minneapolis for the border battle, Vikes and Packers? You got it in you?
I would like to do that. I'm going to be at my TV job in the day. But I am going to probably go to the New Year's Eve Maple Leafs Wild game and check out Austin Matthews. And then I'm in for Henry that night, so we can talk about pucks on New Year's Eve.
Now, back to the Xcel Energy Center. It is coming up on 20 years old. Now, follow along with me a little bit on this. Marquee building, Norm Coleman, then the mayor of St. Paul, instrumental in rallying support from the state, getting the building built. St. Paul was awarded an NHL franchise. Bob Nagley and partners put it all together. 20 years, it'll turn 20 years old in September of 2020. Now, I've been to the building. I was there for state volleyball this fall. I haven't been to a Wild game yet. And I hope to get over to St. Paul for a Wild game.
Join me on New Year's Eve.
There you go. But they've done a great job making changes, making upgrades. And if you do it right to begin with, there is longevity in these buildings. I mean, I can't imagine the Wild in the next 5 years saying, well, the building's 25 years old, we need to tear it down and start over. I just don't see it with that building. And once again, it is 20 years old. 20 years into the Metrodome, that opened in the early 80s, 82, I believe. I can look it up. But let's say early 80s. By the early 2000s, nobody wanted any part of that building anymore. The Vikings, the Gophers, the Twins, they all wanted out. They wanted
they
to be done.
They all called it home at one point. But, isn't that amazing?
But get back to the Xcel Energy Center. That just goes to show, when you do it right, and they put in new seats and a new scoreboard and other amenities and that sort of thing, but the footprint of the building is unchanged. I mean, they have not had to make major structural changes to that building, and it still is top-notch. I mean, you've been to other buildings. I've been to other buildings around the country. Xcel Energy Center is still state-of-the-art, in my opinion.
Stadiums and arenas age fast. They age in dog years. But I do agree with you. I think the foundation of the X is strong. The exterior still looks good. It looks sleek. It looks modern when you pull up off West 7th and Kellogg. I think it's a good look for the city of St. Paul. And you do have to make those adjustments as you go. I know the Twins have been very cognizant of that with Target Field. As great as Target Field is, they're always tweaking it. They're always trying to add things to stay up with current venues that are being built. And I think the Wild and Twins have done a good job of that.
Yeah, and Target Field is another one. CHS Field, the home of the Saints.
That's a jewel.
A much smaller venue, certainly. But they were really done right and thought out beautifully. Allianz Field is another one that comes to mind. I'm not so sure that 20 years into U.S. Bank Stadium we're going to feel the same way. I'll tell you why. Because there are still things in that building that bother me. And we've got a border battle coming up. Over $1 billion was spent, and for a Viking game, or for that matter, even Prep Bowl, temporary tents. They look like grad party tents set up out on front. The temporary crowd control / construction zone fencing, like on the media entrance on the south side of the building. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Unsightly chain link fencing. Once again, the security screening tents out in front of a $1 billion facility. And then you get into the building, and you get into certain parts of the building. The corridors are narrow.
Only that, when you're in the corridors, getting your $20 beer or whatever it costs, $15 Coke, you can't turn and see the action below you. And that's uncommon now. That's not the norm in newer venues. Target Field, you walk around the concourse, sure, you can still see the field. Same thing XL Energy Center or TCF Bank Stadium. That's one thing about U.S. Bank Stadium that I could not believe when I first got in there. You're still walled off from the action when you're getting your food or drink or going to the bathroom.
And it's extremely difficult for certain events like Prep Bowl for spectators to get to their seating. It's a maze. They make it incredibly difficult for people to get to certain parts of the stadium. It was a stadium that was built around the suites and the club seating. The money was put into those areas of the stadium. You get way upstairs and walk around in those corridors, I would be willing to bet $100 they're not any wider or any more spacious than the corridors in the old Metrodome. I'm talking way upstairs where the cheapest seats are, way up in the cheap seats. It's not an improvement over the Metrodome. But circling back around to the point with the XL Energy Center, they sure did that building right. And I want to, end that thought on a positive. 20 years, it'll be 20 years next September that building opened, and it's still a gem in my opinion.
No, it's a wonderful
Bravo
hockey venue.
To the people who laid that out and the way the Wild and the operators of that building have maintained it. And the same thing goes with Target Field. Target Field's been around for 10 years.
And I'm going to say also the same thing for TCF Bank Stadium, which,
yeah, another
in
good
my
one.
Opinion,
yeah,
is the best football facility in Minnesota and maybe the upper Midwest. I it's a football venue. You go in there and you feel like you're going to a football game. I don't get that same feeling at U.S. Bank Stadium. I feel like I'm going to a WWE match.
Well, the only
with
thing
cranked up decibel levels and all this stuff.
The only thing I like about U.S. Bank Stadium is it's warm.
Well, you and I will always argue about that. I don't like the roof, but that's another topic for another day. And we should also, when we come back, since we're talking about things like this, a special anniversary today. On December 12, 1981, final game at the old Met. And things got a little rowdy when J-Lo's Chiefs beat the Minnesota Vikings 10-6, and the fans took over and destroyed the Met.
I was not there that day.
Yeah, you got a seat with you.
No, I was not there. There's no proof that I was at the old Met that day.
I think you're one of the guys who climbed the scoreboard in right center field to take a light bulb out.
There's no video evidence.
You were swinging from a light tower.
It's fake news. 420. Here at CCO, you brought up the anniversary of the demise of the old Met. A lot of great memories of the old Met. I remember when I was old enough or had buddies that were old enough to drive. I grew up in the northern suburbs, and way back in the day, I-94 wasn't completed from 694 to downtown. So you needed to take Highway 100 or 169, used to be County Road 18 way back in the day. Or you could take 494 on. But nevertheless, it took a little longer to get out to the old Met. But when I had buddies that could drive or I could drive, loved going to the old Met for Twins games. And late in the year, I had a friend whose dad was a season ticket holder and didn't want to go sit in the cold. So always late in the year, he would flip his son tickets. And on occasion, I would get the invite and we'd go out and tailgate at the old Met. Once again, I was not at the Met for that game. I was not there that day. I watched it on television.
And the date, again, December 21st, 1981, Kansas City and Minnesota, yeah. Final Vikings game at the Met, final sporting event at the Met. And this Minneapolis Star Tribune has this on their webpage, startribune.com, written by Ben Welter. And what they did is they took parts of Joe Souchere's column, who used to write for the Star Tribune, and they reran it. And here's the part that's interesting. The Vikings used to have a ticket manager named Harry Randolph.
Sure.
In fact, I think Sid always had him in his column saying, yeah, according to Harry Randolph, there are 500 seats left for the game Sunday.
Well, I remember there was a lot of drama back in the day about blackouts.
Right.
And that local companies would step up to make sure the games were on local TV. Now, think about it. The threshold wasn't that high at the old Met. Well under 50,000.
Capacity 48K, yeah.
Yeah, well under 50,000 seats. And it was touch and go. And those were good Viking teams.
They were the best.
And they would have hard time selling out the Met. And there was a 72-hour blackout rule. If the tickets weren't sold 72 hours in advance. And
General Mills had to buy them out, right?
Yeah, there were local companies. And I can't remember if it was General Mills or another retailer. Maybe someone can help me remember. Maybe it was General Mills would step up and lift the blackout rule. So,
well,
not a surprise.
And so here's what you're dealing with. Now, the name Klobuchar right now, you think about Amy.
Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Democratic debate, yeah. Los Angeles the other night, all that stuff. Well, her father is Jim Klobuchar, legendary Minnesota Vikings sports writer, Minneapolis Star
Tribune.
Yeah,
and then became a columnist and that sort of thing.
Wrote a book.
Yeah,
on the Vikings. I remember reading it when I lived in California. Anyways, Klobuchar is writing the lead up to this game. And he quotes Harry Randolph, the ticket guy, as saying, quote, all we want to do is hold down the self-inflicted injuries to minor concussions and treatable fractures. If they are going to carry off their seats, we prefer hand saws to the standard Black & Decker rip saws in the commercials. If they are going after the goalpost, we suggest they come wearing helmets and hard-toe boots, end of quote. The Vikings were angry with Klobuchar for running the quote from Harry Randolph. They denied he said it. As it turned out, Klobuchar fabricated the quote, got a 2-week suspension from the Star Tribune, but the horse was out of the barn, and all the fans went into the Met with power saws and tools to take away whatever they possibly could, and you had a mini riot going on.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. And it's a shame it turned out that way. And now there's been a more orderly dispersal. When the Metrodome shut down, they would have the auction of the chairs and so on and so forth. But, yeah, it was a crazy day. I remember watching that game. And really, on the television news that night, the aftermath of what transpired that day, they just
it was a riot.
Yeah, it was.
You can Google up Ralph John Fritz doing a sports cast on Channel 4. I've watched it many times. And well, that was what he talked about.
Well, I remember being on the site many, many months after they actually tore the superstructure of the stadium down. This is before they broke ground on the Mall of America. And after they took away the lion's share of the debris, it was just really an open pit. And you could drive on the site because the Mad Sports Center was open. So a buddy and I drove out there. A friend of mine from my early days in radio, and we drove out to the site, and there were no fences or no trespassing signs because it was just really south of the Met Sports Center. It was an empty lot, if you will. Well, we kind of walked around in the site and found some debris from the old stadium. You remember the brick facade on the outside, the multicolored brick?
Oh, yeah.
We were able to find shards and some of those. And I still have those to this day, which is proof that I did get a piece of the Met, but I did it well after it was torn down. I was not there. I did not get these brick shards that fateful day.
Well, and I want to tell you a story, too. as a young kid, you know, growing up in SoCal, but I love the Minnesota Vikings. My stepfather was from the Twin Cities. We had the chance to come up here for Christmas in 1976, and I was able to get tickets to the Rams-Vikings NFC Championship game.
That had to be heaven.
December 26, 1976. I remember it vividly. I'm a young guy. Yeah, I was sitting outside, 14 degrees. I've watched the replay many times. Summerall in Brookshire. Chuck Foreman went ballistic. But my point, they blocked the Tom Dempsey kick, Nate Allen, Bobby Bryant, scoop and score. Brent Musburger, Phyllis George, Jack Whitaker, Jimmy the Greek. They're in a trailer in center field by the big old scoreboard, right?
Sure,
the
flagpole
and the flagpole that's now at Target Field. I said to myself, if the Vikings win, I'm going to field rush this thing. And I wasn't alone in the thought process. So they win. It's the last NFC championship the Minnesota Vikings ever won. So me and my cousin, I said, let's go. We field rush. And I'm trying to get to Brent, right? I want to get on CBS. And boy, they pushed us back. The stampede stopped, and I thought I was going to get crushed. And I said, time to get out of here. And by that time, a kid from Orange County in 14-degree weather, I needed to warm up.
Yeah.
So it was, we were off. But the Vikings were off to their last Super Bowl they've been into.
Did you run into security guard Dick Jankowski in your field rush? Did you run into
him? I did not. Of course, I didn't know Dickie J then, but we had him on a couple of weeks ago. And, boy, he had some shenanigans down there on the field, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. He's got a book out as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.